Okay, so today we're going to talk about two Sfas Emeses, each of which generate different strategies for being humble. How do you achieve humility? So let's start with the recovery of the Tzaras. Now, it's a little bit confusing because he writes this in Parshat Tzriah. A lot of people, you know, don't fully partition Tzriah and Tzara. Tzriah is about the types of blemishes and skin diseases that are Tzaras. And Parshas Metzora is how you recover from Tzaras, the ceremony. So he's going to talk about a Rashi that's actually in Metzora, but he writes about it in Tzriah. So even though we're reading Tzriah this week, this is really in Metzora, but he writes about it in Parshas Tzriah. When the Metzora recovers from his Tzaras, so he takes the birds, and one bird he shechs into a clay, and he takes a little bundle of three elements which he dips in the blood as part of his ceremony. That bundle is composed of a stick of an Erez tree. It's composed of a little colored string, the lashani. It's composed of an azov, of a stalk. So Rashi in Parshas Metzora explains that the stalk and the string show humility. It's a little reed, it's a little piece of a stalk that grows by the river. It's a meaningless string. But the Eitz Erez, that's a mighty, mighty tree. So you take a piece of the mighty tree to show that one of the sins that Tzaras is a punishment for, we think it's only for lashon hara, but it's also for haughtiness. The person's too haughty, so he's afflicted by Tzaras. So the Sfas Emes asks the following question. If the sin is haughtiness, why would you include a symbol of haughtiness and arrogance in the recovery? The sin is in the past. You're a haughty person. You got Tzaras. Now we want to bring you down a few notches. We want to humble you. So to humble you, we'll take a string, we'll take a reed, and we'll try to demonstrate humility. Why would we incorporate a symbol of haughtiness in the process? So the simple answer is because we're creating a whole melange and we're creating a whole kaleidoscope of things. And obviously you're too haughty. Now we want you to shift from being an Eitz Erez, a big mighty tree, to bring a string and to bring a reed. But for the Sfas Emes, he's digging a little deeper. Ultimately, your humility should be based on the embarrassment you feel and the mortification you feel having been so haughty. Namely, when you're haughty and arrogant. So the two ways to recover. One way to recover is, you know what? I'm too haughty, I'm too cocky, I'm too vain, I'm too self-centered. I have to work on myself. I have to work on being less haughty and more humble. Another way is to say, what an idiot I am. How could I even think about being so haughty? Everything I have is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't have any talent of my own. Remember in Chassidus, there's a doctrine called Hispatlus, where basically you just mevatel to Hashem. Hashem is everywhere. Hashem controls all your decisions. So the amount of credit you should take for yourself is much, much more limited. In non-Chassidus, it's more of a balance. How much should you take credit for your accomplishments versus what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gifted you? But in Chassidus, those balances are very, very lopsided. Because Hashem's even in your heart, and he's in your action, because he's everywhere. You see, he suffuses all of the universe. So when you feel haughty, you shouldn't say, well, I'm going to try to recover and turn around and turn away from my haughtiness. No. Like, how in the world could I? Like, you feel like a fool. Like, sometimes your greatest humility is when you do something foolish. When's the last time you act like a total idiot, a total fool? You did something really stupid, and you were very humble for a couple of days because you embarrassed yourself. So the route towards humility is through arrogance. Is when you think of that, I was so arrogant. What a, I was so blind. I was so unaware of my surroundings. I didn't realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why during the process of recovery for Tzaras, we include a reminder of your arrogance. Not because it's your past that you're trying to walk away from, but that's the catalyst for your current humility. When you think about how arrogant you are, you're like an Eitz Erez. Oh my goodness, that was so silly of me. You get it? It's very, very deep. It's a very, very deep idea. And that's why he says, he quotes his grandfather, who quotes a very famous Hasidic Rebbe, we're not going to talk about him now, the Rebbe of Prashischa, who says, that's why we say in davening, Mashpil Geim u'magbiya shefalim. Hashem lowers the mighty people, Mashpil Geim, Geim are the high people, the haughty, arrogant people, u'magbiya shefalim. And then he raises those who are lowly. So the simple shot is, if you're high, Hashem lowers you. If you're a lowly person, Hashem takes care of you and advances you. But the Rebbe of Parshishla said, wait a second, it's about the same person. Hashem takes someone who is high and makes him low, and then takes the same person from his depths and elevates him. So if Hashem's going to elevate you, why does he go through the whole hassle? He lowers you and then he elevates you? It's just a waste of time if he's restoring you to your elevated state. So the answer is because as you pass through the low state, that becomes your guard against arrogance because you already tasted humility. You already tasted, we say, humble pie. You're a mashbul geyim. You were high, and Hashem took you to a low point, and then that's supposed to guard against inflation and ego and self-centrism, because you felt what it's like in life. Sometimes that's why when we fail, and when we stumble, and when we do embarrassing things, and when we suffer, these hopefully can serve as hedges against overinflation and over-egotism in the future, because we know that we're fragile, to say it in modern psychological terms. When you taste fragility, when you taste vulnerability, it can hopefully check against overinflation of ego down. So mashbul geim, Hashem lets you taste the dark side of human fragility, or magvia shafalim, so that one day when you reach higher points, the magvia shafalim, you still remain a shafel. You're defined by a shafel. You started as a geya, mashbil geim, you started as a haughty person by nature. Now you became a shafel who happens to be successful, but you remain a shafel because you've tasted. So shafel is the noun. Magbia is the verb. So Hashem is magbia the shafel, but ideally you should remain a shafel. Okay, so that's one interesting piece. The next piece is even more interesting, because he talks about the role of skin, because these are all skin diseases. So dermatology, we know what the science is, but everything in Chassidus is iconic. So when did we have skin? So in Parshas Bereishis, the Torah describes that Hashem made skin for human beings after the sin. Now, Hashem made kosnos or vayal bishem. Hashem made skin shells for them to wear. Now, the Pashut reading of the Pasuk is Hashem didn't make a skin, Hashem just made hides to protect them and to protect them from the winter, from the cold. However, he takes the word kosnos or literally, that Hashem made skin. Before him, we didn't really have the same skin that we have. Now, what do we have? It's hard to know. But the skin that we have is a response to chait. How is sin a response to chait? Because now skin covers something deeper. It's almost a metaphor. And Hashem's presence now has been covered, what's known in Kabbalah as klipos, by shells. So Hashem's presence, which was much more transparent and available in the past, now is being covered by skin, is being covered by something that you can't see. However, skin has little pores in it. It's enough to know that skin has pores. So even though the skin is covering Hashem's presence, it's a metaphor, it's like the skin covers your organs, it covers your body, similarly, there's a covering of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's presence in this world, but you can still try to see through that covering and see through that barrier, just like the skin. You can't really see through the skin. That's why there's holes in the skin. So the skin is a metaphor for the covering of Hashem's presence, which happened as a result of the chait. And, as I told you before, in Chassidus, there's a whole different system of etymology. The word or, which is skin, it sounds like iver, blindness. Now again, etymologically, they're not the same root, but in Chassidus, you can play with letters because you're not just talking about how human beings use language, but higher cosmic level conjugation of letters. In Shemayim, the whole universe is built on letters, double helix, DNA. So the universe is built on letters, so you can conjugate letters differently and words differently, unless you and I would have a conversation about words and language. So the skin is a result of the chait. The result of the chait is just like the skin covers your body, your inside. They're covering Hashem's presence, but you can see through. Part two. Each stage of the tzaras goes to the kohen. You go to the coin, he pronounces you as Tamei. You go to the coin, he pronounces you as Tar. If you think about it, says the Sfasem, isn't that degrading for the coin to have to be the Tamei person? He should be the one that lifts you up out of the Tumah. You should have some other apparatus for becoming Tamei. And go to the coin, he says, you know what, you're Tar, I'm a Tar person. Why is a coin being dragged through the mud, as we would say, to pronounce your Tumah? Evidently, the Sfasem says, because Tumah is actually a benefit. There's a benefit to being Tamei. Why? Because things that are internal, toxicity that's internal comes out and it's coming through the skin and it's leaving your body. So the process of the stage when he sees the tumah and pronounces you tameh is actually part of your growth. It's not just the setback. Oh, you're tameh. It's been 2 weeks locked up and then I'll make you tar. But now that you're tameh, things that are deeply ingrained within you are coming to the surface. So you see how there's a lot of symbolism in skin and in skin diseases coming out from beneath. Obviously, they don't come out from beneath. They come from the external, but at least you feel like it's coming out from within your body because you really come into contact with it. And you just woke up one morning and something appeared on your skin. Where did it come from? Probably your body, experientially, not scientifically, but that's how you experience it. And why is it good to see this tumor coming out? So we would say in modern psychology, because it's cathartic, because it's purging, because it takes it out of your deep subconscious and now you face it. But for this Rosemis, it's because once you see the ugliness that you have inside of you, that also causes humility. Once you face your own ugliness, then you're not as great as you think you are, and you see you have toxicity within you, that's another catalyst, it's another trigger for becoming a little more humble. So these are two different sasemises about strategies for humility. One strategy for humility is the shame and the mortification and having been arrogant to begin with. And that's why the eighth era is the symbol of haughtiness is included within the process of recovery. That's why Hashem lowers you so that you will remain a shafel even when you become a magbia. And even when Hashem elevates you. The second issue is that when you see things coming out of your body and it comes out of your skin, that is a trigger for humility. So it's good for the coin to be part of that process, not just to make you tar, but to make you tame, because he's part of your process of becoming a humble person. And skin, in general, represents the concealment of Hashem's presence that happened after Chedavega. Okay, have a great day. Chodesh Tov, everyone. It's a bris downstairs. I'm going to run to the bris. quick share. Yeah. Quick share today.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Tomorrow's